Up in the mountains we meet, postcard of America, came a long way. Where I grew up doesn't change. Late at night, we drove for miles thinking, when can we touch the coast and cross the border? Run into the sun now, we go together.
To Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard the newest from Wyatt C. Lewis, In Emerald. Kind of a hard pivot, I guess, from some funky, fun, sort of like housey R&B to like really intense, well, intense isn't really the word, but really classic folk music. But you know, I do love, I do actually love that type of folk country music, like the twangy, twangity twang stuff. I do love Wyatt C. Lewis's music as well. It appears as though he's been releasing new songs recently. There was, of course, Bobtail Road that he released a few months back, and it kind of makes me wonder if a new record is going to come out from him, and that'd be so exciting. Did I mention my name? I'm Leslie, and this is Typically Tuesdays. And I am doing Typically Tuesday's Cookin' Kitchen on this episode. This is Cookin' Kitchen episode 2. And I am making not the cabbage and pork jiaozi dumplings. I'm making kind of like a northeastern version, I guess. I was told in the recipe to use peppercorn, which is not as often used, I think, in Cantonese cooking. And just a quick reminder, if you did not know or needed to be reminded, I am not from immediate ancestors. My parents are not from northeastern China. They both grew up in southeastern China, and cuisine is quite different in southeastern China compared to northeastern. But you know, I think every person on earth loves a little sheet of wheat filled with things inside of it. Ravioli, you got your ravioli, you got your mantou, you got your mandu. And I think it's blasphemous, but some people think that a bao is a dumpling. I don't agree with that. But I do have to acknowledge those people here. I think I'm gonna run out of filling before I run out of skins. I don't think there's enough filling here. Not by a huge margin, because there are ways around it. You can just not put as much filling into your dumpling. But still, I think I might be left with something like 10 skins. Not exactly ideal, but I can just cook those skins as though they're noodles and just eat them as though they're noodles, because that's essentially what they are. There are many types of folds for dumplings, of course. I'm sure you would know if you look online, dumplings. There are various ways to fold your dumplings. You can actually fold them. You can make them into a cute shape. You can use like tools to turn them into like kind of like a flower shape or something like that. You can press it with another sheet of dough. Because I am beginning to run out of filling, I am using this technique that involves just squeezing the dumpling together in my hands. It's called, I believe it's called nie jiaozi, and nie kind of means like to squeeze, to press. And so essentially what you're doing is you're just putting a little bit of filling in the middle of the dough. Oh God, I forgot to wet the dough. You're just putting a little bit of filling in the middle of the skin. And I'm gonna try to describe to you how it's done. And of course, I'm really, like with folding, I'm bad at this technique as well. I'm only good at eating dumplings and apparently making filling. But is this too much? It should be enough. Now that I've got my filling in the middle of my dough, I'm going to hold the dumpling so that, how do I describe this? So that my thumbs are kind of like supporting one side and my pointer fingers are supporting the other side. And I'm just going to press both my thumbs and my pointer fingers together, and also use like that webbed part of your hand, whatever that part's called, to kind of press the rest of the sides together. And so that creates a dumpling that kind of has more skin, and it'll be quite tasty if it's cooked fresh. But again, I'm gonna say it, even tastier if it's boiled in water. However, this technique also does require a level of delicacy, because you don't want to squeeze it so that the fillings end up coming out somehow. We don't want that. When you fold it, you can kind of control it a little bit better, because as you're making the folds, your filling kind of like squishes out, and so it's kind of, I guess depending on how runny your filling is, but it is kind of required for you to be able to like push the fillings like back in, or to take some out. You have to be able to control that a little bit more when you are doing the Niejiaozi technique. It is not that way. They're all ugly. Every dumpling that I touch is just ugly, though. But they're all going into the same horrific place. My mouth and stomach. Not slash. Okay, my little tray has been filled up, and now I'm gonna transfer them to the freezer. I'm gonna actually not do that quite yet. Actually, what I'm going to do is transfer these ones onto a plate, and I'm going to cook these for my dinner. That's going to happen at likely 11:30 at night. It has been 1 hour since I reported the time. It is 10:12. So this will continue to take a little bit of time. Oh, the other good thing about the Niejiaozi technique, of course, is that it's a little bit faster. You just press them. And that is it. But again, if you are like me and you are just actually quite bad at creating the shape of dumplings, squeeze. It could go either way, because you might end up spending a lot of time needing to fix the edges and stuff. Oftentimes, Chinese families will... Well, okay, so in the north of China, Chinese people eat dumplings during Lunar New Year. That is my preferred Lunar New Year food. In southern China, particularly in the region where my parents is from, in kind of like that Cantonese region, in Guangdong, people make dishes, like make stews, steamed fish, steamed chicken. Lots of items are steamed. And our New Year's meals are more about those dishes, because I don't know. I'm not sure why exactly. But our New Year's meals are more about the dishes. But I prefer a dumpling, Because I frankly don't really love steamed chicken nor fish. Much to the chagrin of my father, who every year makes a really big spread, even though we're only three people. Every year he makes enough food that lasts for literally like 2 or 3 weeks, and it's horrible because it's like, it's almost feels as though we have to eat as though we're in medieval Europe and we're royals. We have to eat until we throw up or we can't finish it all. And then oh, this one looks nice. Take a photo of that one. Or, you know, the leftovers are just out here for so long that, you know, by the time we get to the end of it, it doesn't even taste like what it's supposed to taste anymore. It's been here for a while. But with dumplings, that is not true, because you just cook however many you eat. If you think you can eat 25, you're going to cook 25. And if 25 wasn't enough, you cook more. Oh. This one popped out a little bit. I feel like one of the reasons also why I wanted to do Cookin' Kitchen today largely was because, like, you know, I had mentioned before, like, oftentimes when you're making dumplings, it's kind of like a communal thing, right? You're doing it with other people. Nobody else is at home right now. It is just me. And we're in the middle of a COVID surge right now. It's not really safe to, like, bring folks over, invite them to come help make dumplings. We're not going to do that stuff. We're going to, you know, we're going to still be mindful of the very real realities of the ongoing pandemic. But, you know, making dumplings on my own on a Friday night, what am I going to do? Just watch a movie while I do it? I need my eyes to do this stuff. What am I going to call a friend? It's Friday night. Please. Who's going to talk to me while I make dumplings on a Friday night? And so it made sense to talk to you. Even though you don't get to eat this, and you don't even get to see this, but it just felt right. Typically Tuesdays has become a little bit like a blog, an audio blog in some ways. And so, why not do a very blog-like thing and document what I am making for dinner? I'm not going to eat 50 dumplings, but I am going to eat something like half. And technically not even half, because I'm done with my filling. As of this moment, I am done with my filling. It was kind of sad, but at least it's not 11:30. So I can start cooking very soon and actually have my dinner. But what am I going to do with the rest of these skins? Okay, hold on, I'm going to press this real good. Oh no, this one's just ugly. This one's just plain ugly. Ugh. Okay. What am I going to do now? And so now I am gonna clean up and bring a large pot to boil so I can eat my food for the evening. And I think it's with that we part ways this week here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode, even though it's mostly babbling and you cannot really hear or you can't really see what's happening. I will definitely take a photo of some of these dumplings, though. Some of them, very few of them, but some of them do actually look not horrible. And the link to this recipe will be put in the episode notes of this show once it goes up onto the archive. It is in Mandarin. The recipe is in Mandarin. Maybe ask a friend to help you translate if you don't speak Mandarin, or maybe use the power of translation somehow. Maybe by the time you listen or you get to that that archived episode, you know, the technology will be there for devices and computers and YouTube to directly translate videos. But beyond that, you know, there are definitely other places where you can look up Napa cabbage and pork dumplings. As well, of course, you can support a local business and purchase their Napa cabbage and pork dumplings. There are great places in a lot of Chinese malls, for example, like Crystal Mall. There are small business vendors over there. In Richmond, there are a lot. Go check out some of the places in Chinatown, on Victoria Drive, in Henderson Mall, in Coquitlam as well. Great places out there. You just have to put in a little bit of effort to look for a place that sells good dumplings. And of course, eating dumplings, making them, it's, as I said before, it can be quite a communal thing. So if you do choose to make dumplings yourself, perhaps you can make it into a little event when things are safer for you to gather with friends and family. You can, of course, also be like me and make it by yourself. Maybe call a friend instead of recording an episode of your radio show when you do it. Dumplings are also a communal meal. Great to share together, especially when you're making many different types of fillings, and there are many different types of fillings out there as well. A lot of them are vegetarian friendly. There are vegetarian friendly dumpling fillings like egg and chive. There are also, for example, halal friendly ones like cilantro and beef, or like chive and shrimp. Highly recommend you give this a try. Before we leave off the episode today, I want to encourage you to continue to stay engaged with what is happening around the world. In doing so, you can learn, you can set up like a good foundation of how you can take actions to support your local community and also those who are oppressed around the world. Tune in to Democracy Now! Weekdays from 11 to 12 with your host Amy Goodman. She's got the scoop on a bunch of things that are happening around the world, including things that continue to unfold and happen in Gaza, and but also in many other countries and communities. It's a great way to stay informed and to also stay informed in a kind of critical and nuanced way. Democracy Now! Every weekday from 11 to 12. I'm Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I want to keep advocating for those water dumplings. I really think you should try them out. But whatever you do, I hope for the most part you enjoy this next song. This is the newest from Yoroshika. This is Hareru. Enjoy, and I'll talk to you very soon.